Okay, thanks very much. So now we'll kick off with module 5. And in this module, I'm going to focus on the Windows Intune policies. So this is the cloud-only configuration for the Windows Intune policies. This afternoon, we'll drill down into the capabilities of the unified policies and settings through SCCM. But this one is just if you're in cloud-only configuration. So let's switch back to the slides and take a look at the breakdown for this module. So here we're going to look at each of the individual policy templates that are available through Windows Intune. We're going to look at exactly what capabilities you can get through the cloud-only configuration for each of these policy types. We're then going to look at things like forcing those policy refreshes, how you can do that, what the policy cycle is for Windows Intune. Look at that precedence we were talking about earlier. So that's the multiple policies applying to the same thing. How do those work within Windows Intune? And then a few best practices. Over the years that we've been working with customers, it's become clear that there's some very good ways that you can implement these policies. So we've got some recommendations in there that I'd like to highlight as part of this training. So the goal with the Windows Intune policies in the cloud-only config is to really make the process of applying these policy templates very straightforward and very clear through a simple Windows Intune admin console. So by coming into the policies workspace, you can select in here one of the four policy templates. And it should be fairly clear what we've got here. We've got our mobile device security policy. This applies to mobile devices. As I said in the previous section, those policies are then applied to users so that you ensure whatever device that user has, that policy will apply to them as an individual and therefore flow down onto their device. We have the Windows firewall settings. So those settings, let me just zoom in on that, those firewall settings here, these are the configuration of the Windows PC firewall. So it will only apply to PCs. We only apply this to the device groups. And it's the Windows firewall that that we'll be configuring. And there's quite a lot of settings that we can manage in there to turn on policies and ports, rather, for devices. Then we have the agent settings. And this template really is the crux of configuration of the Windows Intune management behavior. So this is where we get into the details of how the updates are applied to the device, how endpoint protection is configured, when they do the scans, when the updates are applied, when policy is checked. So that's all part of the Windows Intune agent settings. Then the final policy template we have is something called the Windows Intune Center Settings. Now, that one is a very simple little template. It basically allows you to configure some settings that will appear on the end user's PC once they've enrolled into the service. So it allows you to populate things like help desk aliases, email aliases, URLs for a help desk web portal if you've got one of those set up for your organization. So it allows the users to get that information on demand when they need help from corporate IT. Okay, so this next few slides, I'm going to go through a detailed breakdown of exactly what these policy settings can do. And one of the things that I want to highlight here is the policies we've tried to group to make them more straightforward. We're very aware that group policy is a huge beast. It has a lot of capabilities, and sometimes finding the policy that you want can be a real challenge. So with the Windows Intune policy, we've got the luxury that we're really focusing on particular tasks and particular functions, either of our agents or of the device that we're managing. So we've grouped these policies into something that we think is a little bit more logical in how it can be organized. So in the first set of settings, we've got a group here that we've got for our devices called password. So for our mobile devices, the security policy is looking at password configuration. And here we've got two sections in the password section, the common one that applies to all devices, however they're managed. And then we have the RT section down here. So this is specific just to the RT platform. So if the same user logs on, once from an RT device and once from, let's say, a Windows Phone device, this policy will only apply to RT, so we've highlighted it out and called it out as being unique. And what we're expecting is as more functionality comes into these smart platforms, we'll be able to add more and more policies in here that are more platform specific. So the whole concept of this organization here is to make sure that you can see in the password section exactly what's common and shared across those platforms and what's unique to an individual platform. So in here, we can set some of the basic policies that you've come to expect really from PC management as well as mobile device management, such as requiring a password. So if your user has just configured it and got themselves set up with, let's say, a brand new Windows Phone device, they don't bother turning a PIN on. Before you want them installing applications or email, you want to force them to enroll that device and make sure that they comply to your security requirements for that organization. So you can turn that on in this policy. You can set things like the number of digits that are in that password or PIN. You can determine whether it has to be alphanumeric or whether it can have a PIN. There's a lot of control here to set a password policy that means something to your organization. So next up, we've got our device restrictions. So this is where we can apply particular capabilities through policy to the devices. In this example, we've got some additional restrictions that we have on the iOS platform. We've heard that there's some security concerns from customers around the iCloud service from Apple that allows an end user to basically synchronize all of their data from their device directly to a personal iCloud account. So we were able to get that policy restriction in place and integrate that into the Windows Intune service to block that capability. We can also turn off, again, depending on the platform, we can turn off camera functionality or web browser functionality for devices. At the moment, that applies primarily to the iOS and Android-based devices. Windows RT doesn't have the capability for us to turn that camera off in policy through the direct management channel yet. So the next up in the security policy for mobile devices is the Exchange Active Sync capabilities. So in here, I've got the capabilities to restrict through Exchange Active Sync connected devices the ability for those users to download email attachments, track how long they'll keep email on that device beforehand. And I want to highlight here, with all of these policy settings, when you're going through the console, selecting this icon here will bring up an explanation of exactly what that policy does and what the recommended setting is, and I'll show you that in a second. So the final section in the mobile device security policy template is that of encryption. So in here, I can look at and assign a requirement for the mobile device to have encryption in place, either on the box itself or on any external storage cards that are plugged into the device. So this is supported, again, depending on the platform. We apply the policy, but the platform can choose to implement it or not. And then you can choose, if you so wish, to maybe block access to this if they don't meet these requirements. But one thing to be wary of, something like the Windows RT platform, It comes automatically encrypted. In fact, the first time you sign the thing, it you go through a process of assigning a user ID to the device. That's a Windows Live ID. When you've signed that, you basically create an encrypted partition for all your data on the RT device. So it is doing encryption by default. So we don't apply this policy through the Windows Intune service because it's already encrypted, and that's the only way you can run the device. So that was the mobile device policies, and we'll look at those again in more detail, how they're applied later on and what they look like in the UI. But now we've got the Windows agents settings. Now this one is, there's a lot in here. So let me zoom in on each one of these so we can take a closer look at the capabilities. So first and foremost, we've got our endpoint protection. So this is the capabilities of the Windows Intune endpoint protection agents. We actually use the same protection engine as System Center endpoint protection. So we have the same controls and we have the same policies that are going down onto the device and capabilities on the device itself. New in this release, one of the tweaks that I mentioned earlier on is that we have the ability to disable this UI. So one of the requests that we had is organizations want to know that their devices are actually protected and get reports of any possible malware infection, but they don't want the users to have to interoperate with that at all. The interface we have is very straightforward, but some organizations just wanted to hide that away from the users. So with this option here, we can turn that UI off. You know the machines are protected. You'll continue to receive updates if there are any exposures to malware or any issues that the malware engine has detected, but it will be reported through the Intune console.
But nobody ever gets any malware. I mean, you don't. Why do you need that, right? I mean, you just let people run amok.
Well, one of the things we had to educate some of the guys who were demoing this was that they would say, when your computer's infected, you'll see an alert there. And I just want to point out, no, actually, the goal here is that endpoint protection detects that infection and blocks it. That's the whole point. And every example that we have here, you'll see that the alert is telling you it was exposed to malware. It doesn't mean it was infected. And that's a key thing to differentiate with this service.
You see, so I went ahead, I found the problem, I just went ahead and fixed that for you. So
there you go.
You're safe.
Yep. Yeah. Life is good, but you better know this guy's going to websites they shouldn't be going to and downloading stuff they shouldn't be downloading. that's where you go and find them and hunt them down.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
Okay, so at the bottom of this policy settings, this is where you've got the ability to get into the real-time protection. So this is effectively turning off the real-time scanning on the device. So as users are opening files or opening email attachments or whatever it is, the real-time protection here, you do have the ability to disable that if you so wish. Obviously, strongly recommended you don't, but if your organization already has another third-party malware protection product in place, then you can come in here and choose to disable that real-time protection so you don't have two real-time protection engines fighting against each other in here. And then other things we can do, like scheduling a daily scan and control for the endpoint protection on that. Okay, so next up, we've done the endpoint protection. The next is the update. So this is our capability here to be able to govern exactly when the device itself will go back to the service and check for updates. And we're using the Windows Intune service via the Microsoft Update Service, Woo and Moo, for those who are familiar with those terms. We use their distribution mechanism for these updates. So I'll show you exactly how that works in a second. But in here, one thing I wanted to highlight is by default, every managed PC will check back within an 8-hour window. So they will make sure that every 8 hours they check back with the service. If an update has been approved for them, they then can go through the process of applying that update. And that process is governed here by these settings here. And by default, 3 a.m. every day is when they'll go through the download and installation process for approved updates. And then we have two final sections here with some very quick settings. The first one is user device linking. And I want to just spend a second to explain this one because we have had some confusion here. So every device that's joined into the Windows Intune service takes a or can be linked to a user. If the user automatically joined that device or went through the process of joining the device through the company portal, that's done automatically by Windows Intune. So just by the user enrolling the device, links it to them. However, if you're in an organization where you're doing the deployments of the OS on behalf of the user and setting that all up centrally, then you may have joined in a whole bunch of computers that are not linked to a user. And that's fine. You can still do stuff with them as a device. But if you want to then manage them as through a user group membership, you need to link those computers to them. And that's a simple process for an administrator to do just through the console. However, there is an option for a user through the company portal to grab ownership of a device, and this policy turns that off. So they can't do it if a computer hasn't been linked before. But if the computer isn't linked, and they're logged onto it, they go to the portal. It'll say, "Oh, you're logged onto a PC that's not linked to a user. Do you want to grab that ownership?" So by turning this off, you can make sure they can't do that, and your administrator is wholly responsible for assigning the linking. So the last settings grouping we've got down here is network bandwidth. And this is where we integrate with the Windows platform's BITS capability, the Background Intelligent Transfer Service. And this allows us to put bandwidth throttling in place to help ensure that our downloads and our software deployments don't flood bandwidth. So one thing I wanted to call out here, and we get a lot of questions around this, so be absolutely clear. This is the installation behavior when you enroll a PC into the Windows Intune service. We go through a process of checking for the endpoint protection. So you can use this slide to see exactly what the policy settings will modify and what our default behavior is. So first up, we have we'll do a check upfront. Is this machine protected at all by any kind of AV? If the answer is no, we'll assume you want to install our endpoint protection. And then we'll check our policy to make sure that you haven't determined otherwise. So if it's left to its own devices, it will install if there's no AV protection, unless you specifically disable it via our endpoint protection policy. If there is AV installed, then the first thing we do is check if it's one of the Microsoft AVs. So if it's Microsoft Security Essentials, if it's System Center Endpoint Protection, or even if it's Forefront Endpoint Protection, going back a little bit. If it is, we'll upgrade that engine and use the Windows Intune engine for management of that, in which case we'll go through the process of upgrading that and check again whether you want us to disable WEP. So at this point here, if you specifically disabled it, you could effectively take a protected PC to an unprotected status. So that's why I wanted to call it out in this, to make sure you're aware of what you're doing with policies. Then finally, the next step is, well, okay, it's not a Microsoft Endpoint Protection suite. What are we going to do with the endpoint protection for the device itself? Here, we'll just do a check for the policy. If you leave it by default, then it will not install our agents. It will say you've got third-party AV on there already. We're going to assume you want it. Therefore, we will not install, okay? However, if you've specifically set in that policy you want to enable endpoint protection, we will install our agents as well. And that's where you might want to get down into the either disabling that third-party protection or using our policies to turn off at least our real-time protection. Because otherwise, what you end up at this point is you effectively have two AV real-time protection platforms scanning, and that can get into some performance issues where every time a user tries to do something, we've got two engines that are looking, and that's not necessarily good for their experience.
I will say that the automatic uninstall is pretty slick, though, for some of the major products.
So. Right, so that's another point. If you've been using Windows Intune up until now as part of Wave C, we did have an automatic uninstall feature that was enabled. In this release, we've taken that out, and it's kind of an interesting story as to why. Okay, so we had that automatic uninstall for certain supported platforms. Well, of course, as soon as we released that, the third parties went out and updated their platforms and changed their installation routine. And we didn't want to get into a game of playing cat and mouse of them installing or not uninstalling. So we've basically taken that feature out now. It's down to your IT pros. You decide what AV you want to use. You make the decisions either through our policies or through whatever the third party is to disable or enable their real-time protection. It's entirely up to you. That's why I wanted to highlight this slide, because it gives you the choice and the information you need for that. It's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so The next settings we have were those Intune center settings. So highlighting down here in this little screenshot, this is how the user would get to these settings. Okay, so by selecting our Windows Intune icon on the desktop, they can choose the Intune center, and then through that, they'll actually see these settings that you've populated here. And that can include the name of the organization, phone numbers, email addresses, websites, the URLs to get to it, and a little sort of note of the day that you can put in there for the end users. And that's the only place that this policy appears. The final policy template that we have is our Windows firewall settings. Bit of an eye chart in here. I want to try and capture all the policies in one place. So let me just zoom in here and you can see what we can do here. So this only applies to the Windows firewall, okay? Make sure that's clear. But we can configure here policy settings by different profile, by different domains. as well as individual exceptions for that policy. So an example here, I've enabled one for file and print just on my domain policy. So at the point the machine is logged in and the firewall detects that you're on your domain joined network, then this policy will take place and we will enable the file and print sharing capabilities of that device so that it can interoperate with the domain printers or file shares and people can get to it. So that wraps up that section. We've got a very brief demo here where I'm going to take you through the process of creating these policies and show you exactly what it looks like. So let me switch back to our admin console, see if I've stayed signed in. No, let me just reauthenticate. I was talking too long there. Okay, so back at my admin console. We get to policies through our policy workspace here. So I can look at all the policies that are in place already and drill down into the details of these policies. I won't go down into every single one of them, but what I did want to highlight here is the mobile device security policy is one that's obviously very pertinent with the BYOD and the devices that we're managing here. So I can go in, select this, I can click edit, and then I can modify this default policy.
So perfect question we had from the audience related to your demo is, does the policy that you're setting there for Exchange Active Sync override the one that happens to be in Exchange?
So very interesting question. So it doesn't. They are both applied. That's the key thing to get in place. So both the policies will be applied. The way that we work with the security policies is that we make sure that the most restrictive policy will apply to those users. So if you have set a password policy, let's say in ActiveSync, that is saying that users can have pins and there are only 4 characters, and then you set a default mobile device management policy for those devices that says, no, you have to be alphanumeric and we want at least 6 characters, they will get alphanumeric and 6 characters. But both will still be applied. So at the point they join the device to ActiveSync, they'll get the first policy. At the point they enroll it with Windows Intune, they will then get that policy updated to the most restrictive. And, you know, vice versa, both policies apply. So that's how we manage it for that.
So since we're on the same topic, as that same conflict applies to all the other policies is fairly similar, right? I mean, because you have...
There's one other level of granularity. Yeah. So we'll get into that one in a second. But yeah, park that thought, and I'll show you exactly how that that precedence works. So what I wanted to show just very quickly in this console, though, is from here, I can add another policy setting. So I select whichever template of the ones I've just discussed, and I can choose here, by default, I can choose to just have recommended settings. So this is about as quick and easy as we can make it. There's recommended policy settings that we document in that information, or you can choose to have a custom policy. So if I select that and do create the policy, I can now configure this however I want and select these settings on or off however I wish. And remember I said earlier, just to click on that information button will show you exactly what the setting does and will determine what a recommended value is for that setting. Mm-hmm. You can choose to implement it or not, but if you choose the default option of implementing recommended settings, that's what you'll get in that policy.
So if I want to be really mean to some group of folks, I could maybe even do that.
Oh, let me think. What group do I want to be mean to? Yeah, let's pick these guys. So yeah, I could set in here they want to be alphanumeric, they are required to have a password, and you know, let's go all the way up to password length of, 14 characters that they have to type in on their phone?
Yeah, and that 4 character sets too. I mean,
you've got to make it as complicated and as difficult for these guys.
To block them out now.
No, we love sales guys, honestly, I have to say that, working in the team I am, because they'll be waiting for me when we get back. So I can get these settings configured, and then I can save this policy off. So once I save it off, the next option I've got is, do you want to deploy that policy? So that option there is basically saying, well, where do I want to deploy it to? Well, now I can select the users group. So if I pick those sales guys and apply that policy to them, anybody in that sales group, and remember if I was using a dynamic group, this is going to be my AD sales team, we're good to go. They will pick that policy up on any device they enroll using that user ID. But I'll cancel that now and now, just to make sure that I don't get into real trouble with them. So that's what I wanted to show in the demo there. Last couple of slides before we head off for our lunch break. I know you're all chomping at the bit. I know I'm hungry.
Yes.
What about you?
I think I could use some food, for sure.
So let me just show you these last few slides here. And this is where we get into this precedence piece. So this will answer your questions about how we get into multiple policies being applied. So firstly, I wanted to highlight for policy refreshes, once you've applied these policies, you can go into a remote task for a particular PC and force that PC to come back and do a refresh straight away. So that's a key one, especially when you're doing testing of these policies beforehand, to make sure you don't have to hang around for that 8-hour period or up to 8 hours. It depends where the PC is in the cycle as to when it will check. But that's a key thing. So you can do a remote task, refresh policies, and that will reach out to the PC as long as it's online and do an immediately a policy refresh. So next up are these precedents here. So within precedents, we've got an example here of three policies within Windows Intune that are all being applied to this effectively the same device. So we use both a group hierarchy initially. So the hierarchy you saw that we could create inside the Intune console applies. So if I have, let's say, the head office group here, or to give you an example, one of the defaults group, I might apply my default policy, my baseline, if you like, to all devices. That would be an example of a best practice. We apply that here. So that sets a minimum baseline. However, for our desktops, we want some other control, or maybe our laptops some other control. So I can apply a second level of policy that's maybe some more restrictions down to this level. However, if I've applied multiple policies at that level to that device, then the next thing that comes into play is the timestamp. So we're then looking at when that policy was created, which is the most recent one, and that will get applied last. All of those policies apply. It's just whether or not, if there is a conflict, which one will ultimately win, and we'll determine that with the timestamp. One key thing to note here, though, is out of all of these policies, if there is a conflicting group policy setting, that will win. We've determined if you've been through the pain and set up your complex group policy settings to do exactly as you want it to do, we're going to make sure that that takes precedence. So it'll all be applied, but then group policy will ultimately be refreshed to determine what the settings are there.
And again, that's only for conflicting settings, because otherwise you have a merge of all the
settings. Right, and there's only really very few places that it can actually impact at the moment. It's around endpoint protection and update status. That's really where group policy can come in and stamp over maybe a setting that Windows Intune has. And we do bubble that out, by the way, through the admin console, so we'll tell you if we detect that conflict. So even though it's being resolved, you'll see in the console a warning to say this policy has a conflict resolution you want to look into. So some best practices to finish up this section. Absolutely, create your default baseline policies, apply them to all users and all groups so that you know every managed user and device that's joined in has at least a minimum security policy, however you want that to be. That sets your baseline in place. It's also very useful for managing the endpoint protection behavior that I showed you to determine what happens there. So apply those, then use the lower groups in the organization to apply more specific restrictions if you need to. And then finally, plan ahead for this. Do necessary testing, but make sure that you understand that if you're going to do this across all of the organization, it may take some time for you to get these applied, up to 8 hours. And if a computer's off, it can take a lot longer. If a computer is off and it misses that period, that 8-hour window, next time you bring it back online, it detects it's online, it does a refresh right from there. And it will keep trying then every hour until it can get online and get its policy.
Can we tweak that setting? There's like a couple questions in there on I want to make it 15 minutes or I want to make it however.
Yeah, you know? So 8 hours is the lowest level of granularity. However, you can reach out and refresh, as I showed in the console there, on demand as you see fit. The reason we went to 8 hours is there's a balancing act here. What we don't want is too much traffic over the wire all going back up to the internet at the same time. So 8 hours we think is a good compromise. And then if you're doing testing or something that you want to do sooner, then you can just select the device and do a refresh now through the admin console to do anything less than that. Okay, so that's it. We've covered the policy templates, how the policies are applied, what precedence is, and then some recommendations for best practice.
All righty, that's a wrap, and we'll catch you back after lunch.
Absolutely. Let's go eat.